Are we ready to start?
I got nothing to say. I'm all talked out.
All right. We'll do this one for Pegwell, who's now incarcerated, apparently, right?
Well, I was helping him hide. I was helping him hide bodies in abandoned buildings all day.
All right. Here we go. Give me the Australian counterpound. Joel.
1, 2, 4, 5, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Alright, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
It's a little thing, Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like a guest, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are like a bath. For the streaming, go direct to DLNGS.org. And IC Challenge, LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 580 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Dan the Man Fry.
Hey there.
We have Pat.
Upgrading, baby.
We have Joel.
Yo.
And Richard.
Who's
Flying
speaking.
Rich. What are you upgrading, Pat?
I did it a few days ago. I upgraded my myth box.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't so clean, was it?
It wasn't horrible, but yeah, it wasn't so clean. I also had a hardware failure. Another piece of my hardware died.
Oh, what was that?
My PVR 1212 finally gave up the ghost.
Oh yeah, that's right. You mentioned that. That's been around for a long time, huh?
That was like first generation.
The one I sold to you, or one I gave to you or sold to you, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a Hop Hog card?
It's not a card, it's an external box.
Oh yeah.
You hook it up to the back of the your cable box HD.
Now time to get you one of the silicon dust things, huh?
I've had one.
I'm all cable card at this point.
You know, I was having issues with that thing, and the silicon dust one where my cable car recordings would be all kind of choppy and I would have dropouts where it was missing like a couple seconds here, a couple
really?
Seconds there. Yeah, I upgraded the firmware and it's perfect now.
Yeah, I got two of them going, so I can do six total at one time.
So you're renting two cards out?
Yeah, and it's still cheaper than renting one SD box from
The only negative is you can't do like if you have premium channels like Showtime or HBO.
That's okay because I get all of that content on demand otherwise.
I know. Still.
Because it's like it's $20 bucks a month for HBO still.
Yeah, it's not worth HBO. Fuck HBO.
I'll just get a season of Game of Thrones or whatever for $30 and be done with it, you know?
Yeah, that's all you're interested in, you're better off.
Right.
Yeah, so I upgraded the Myth box from 1204 to 1404. And then I had a couple issues where the Myth web interface wasn't running. I had to delete one of the configuration files and rerun the configuration script. My sound was not working on my HDMI cable. And basically what it was is that for some reason it made the analog audio card on the motherboard the default sound. So I wound up installing, what is that, PA view control?
Pulse audio thing.
The
advanced pulse audio control app. I installed that and I was able to flip it so that it was using the HDMI sound as the default sound.
Well, you know, I never even bother with that. I always just go into the Myth interface and it is really good at detecting, you know, actually you should have, might have run the setup wizard. That might have let you select it.
Didn't do it.
No?
It saw the different choices. Like, you know, when you're running, you know, HDMI audio, basically you're getting the sound through the NVIDIA video card.
Right.
So, yeah. Well, once I got it working, once I set that one as a default, and my system sound was working, then I just went back into the Myth front end setup and and detected the right one, and it was okay after that. But other than that, everything seems to be okay.
Yeah, I've been hesitant to upgrade it because I follow the mailing list, you know, every day, and I've been noticing a lot of people having some issues with the 1404 stuff. I don't know if it's Myth TV related or if it's MythBuntu related or what it is.
But. I also have one other issue. My remote, it seemed to got reset to some generic one and not all the keys were working. So I had to go in there and reselect it in the setup app. And once it did that, it seemed to be doing it okay.
They make that stuff really easy though in the control panel or the control center, I should say. And, swapping that type of stuff around is usually really straightforward.
Yeah. So the only other issue now is that schedule's direct. Basically they changed the feed on it.
Yeah.
And you have to upgrade it.
Yeah. Come November 1st, the old Tribune Media feeds are shutting down and they've worked out, other agreements to get other data. They're even getting away from the old, XML based, data grabber and have a JSON one, which supposedly has like a lot more data associated with it. But they don't have an official grabber, you know, in there yet in the Myth backend. So I'm holding off on that a little bit. I'm checking now to make sure because I know I was a couple days behind. I've been finding that the schedule's direct call has been failing a lot lately and I've been noticing a lot more chatter about it on the mailing list as well. And if I go in and manually run it, it seems to run fine like every other time. So it's really kind of weird. So something I think is happening on the back end of, schedules direct that's causing it to, I don't know if their upgrades went so cleanly, I guess. But, something on the back end is preventing the data coming down cleanly and then getting installed correctly.
Yeah, so it's something we gotta keep an eye on for the next couple of weeks, get that sorted out.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see if they can talk. OLF folks, are you on there? Can you talk?
So before we get to them, and hopefully they'll announce in just a second. Right. I would like to offer our condolences to 5150 for the passing of his father.
Yeah.
You guys went through a heck of a lot in the past couple of months, and man, I hope it's going to get easy for you, 50. Easier. It's rough and much thoughts go out to you.
Yep. So if the OLF folks are in there?
Yep, we're here.
Awesome, and you sound good too.
Whoa, wait a minute, who is that?
It's Susan, of course.
Is that you, Susan? Vance, are you under Susan Rose?
She's here too.
Hi, this is Susan.
Oh, you're both.
Susan Rose.
Wow, you guys sound really good. You
must
have no problems. Yeah, all right. Hey, excellent. Well, thank you both, Susan and Vance, for coming on the show. Sorry we couldn't get you on last week with some technical issues, but I'm really glad you guys are here this week.
Well, Beth Lynn was there last week, but Vance was with her trying to get on, but she couldn't come tonight, so I'm filling in. I'm Susan Rose. I'm the social media coordinator for Ohio Linux Fest.
I can't imagine why Beth Lynn couldn't make it tonight. I mean, what, you're only 2 days away?
You know what?
Yeah,
she's from Chicago, and she's actually flying in now. She's spending tonight in Columbus as well.
Yeah, you guys must have a heck of a lot going on, and we do appreciate you being able to make it on tonight.
We're glad you guys could have us.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us what we have in store for OLF 2014?
Well, it's a lot. If you've if you go on the website and you look at the schedule, you see there's a lot of stuff piled up on there. If you start on Friday, so typically we'll have during the day, we've got professional training sessions that are going on. Those are we've got 5 different ones of those. We've got an OPI review session is one. There's a whole one on Git. We actually have people from GitHub that are coming in to teach that. We've got OpenStack and Chef, so a whole lot of sort of sysadmin kind of things going on. And we have one on SE Linux and clustering with Red Hat Enterprise. So that's the whole professional tracks that are going on Friday, and then the early Penguins track, as we call it, which are the free talks that are going on. We've got a bunch of those going on from 9 in the morning down to 4 p.m. We've got...
is that when my talk is at 7 p.m.?
The talk at 7 p.m. is...
I'm teasing.
Oh, okay. Your talk is... Is this Richard?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
His talk is canceled, hopefully.
Well, I just filled out my registration today. It can't be canceled.
Thank you. Yes, everyone needs to register. It's free. So just go in there and do it now. It only takes a minute. Yeah, we got stuff going on. One that sounds interesting on Friday is this guy has set up a webcam looking out the window of his house, and he's been taking like a picture every minute. And so he's got like 3 million images now. And so apparently he's been doing a whole lot of like time-lapse stuff with that. So I think that'll be an interesting one.
Yeah, I wanted to say that I'm not as astute in open source as Vance and some of the other people are, but this Drew Levine,
yeah.
She's really notable in the open source world, and she's giving a talk at 3 o'clock on Friday, What's New in Free NAS 9.3. And for people that know about this kind of stuff, it'd be very important to hear her, because she is an authority in her field. And not only that, we owe her a tremendous thank you for agreeing to proctor the exams on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think I'm going to be there. I was just honest. Before you mentioned it, I saw the free NAS, and I'm like, ooh, I want to go to that one.
Yeah, yeah. So not only is she speaking, she's really giving of herself and her time to proctor two exam sessions, one Saturday afternoon and one Sunday morning. So, we really appreciate that the, certification exam for BSD and LPI, variety of exams for LPI would be offered, twice. So, you could get two different certifications at the same convention.
So now, which tracks are free and which tracks are fee-based?
Okay, so the only thing that you are required to pay for is what we call the Ohio Linux Fest Institute, or OLFI. So those are, there's a 3-hour session in the morning and a 3-hour session in the afternoon on Friday, and we've got 5 of those. And then basically all the other talks are free. The only other paid add-ons would be the after party on Saturday. I would say the keynote dinner, but that's just sold out this morning. And that, you know,
the
everything
after
else.
Party, $5 donation for the after party.
Yeah.
And if you don't register online and you'd like to walk in, there's a $5 cover charge just to come in for the enthusiast.
Yeah. So if you go ahead and register now, it's free. So you should do that.
And I just wanted to reiterate that if one of you is taking the paid session on Friday and the other person wants to come along for the ride, there is the enthusiast, the free sessions in the early Penguin track that are going on at the same time. So there will be great talks going on in the professional as well as the enthusiast track on Friday. Then there's something new that I don't think we've ever done before, is the idea of a happy hour on Friday night. That's going to be right in the convention center. So we moved up the Friday keynote to 4 o'clock, and that'll help the people that are ending the early Penguin track and the, OLFI to, flow into the keynote. And then we'll have this, sponsored happy hour, by Cover My Meds. Thank you. And, then we're going to have, Birds of the Feather groups and the rise and fall of the Bitcoin, the rise and rise of the Bitcoin film at 7. So there's so much going on Friday. You could almost call that a conference itself. But Saturday is just humongous. It's just humongous. So,
yeah, you should definitely take off work, a couple hours early and show up on Friday. We got a lot going on. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be really exciting.
Yeah.
All right. I'm seeing two I want to see at the same time. So there's building a private data cloud with OpenAFS, and then there's what aviation can teach us about systems administration. And they're both at 11 on Saturday.
Right. Yeah. What we're going to try to do is we're going to try to record the talks again. If you go, I'm not sure if we have a link on the front page, but I think if you go from our website, you go to some of the older posts, you'll see we have last year's talks. We've uploaded all those to archive.org. We're going to try to do that again this year. We actually kind of need someone to help volunteer for that. So if you got somebody who can help out, really, it's just going to be at the beginning and the end of the day. They just kind of got to start this stuff up and then go and collect everything at the end of the day. So they can email team@ohiolinux.org, and we'll put you to work.
The other thing about these concurrent sessions, or even if, heaven help you, you have a flat tire, you just can't make it, there's a lot of the speakers are already emailing Vance their slide presentations. And when you go to, I believe it's the sessions tab, and you scroll through the when you go to the schedule tab and you click on the name of the presentation you'd like to see and you go to the bottom of the presentation, a lot of them already have their slide files.
Yeah, there should be a download on pretty much all of them now. So
I'm seeing the one for the aviation can teach us about system administration.
So right, so you won't have the audio. I mean, unless it's recorded, but at least you'll have the slides. For any sessions you went to and really liked or sessions that you missed, you'll be able to look up the slides even now if it helps you make a decision about one or the other that you're going to.
Of course, I just sent my slides in 20 minutes ago.
Thank you very
okay.
much.
Okay. Now see how useful that is. People can really make, a very intelligent choice for their attention span and take a sneak peek of the slides that, that are going to be, shown for a particular speaker.
I'm looking at when Door to Door Geek's, presentation is. Let's see. He's 11 to 12. So that's professional podcasting with Linux part 2.
Yeah, he's going to be there in the, D240 and 241. So we're going to be in what they call the D pods. So we have all these D rooms, down towards the north end of the convention center, and we'll be on both floors. So, upstairs and downstairs.
Is that the same setup as last year?
Last year we were in C.
No.
Now we're in D. So it's one hallway over.
So is it closer to the Drury or
farther away from the Drury Hotel?
I need a segue.
Bring your roller skates.
Well, it is accessible and there is a little elevator gizmo to get you up into the Drury. And, of course the Hyatt is connected, the Hilton is connected. Crown Plaza, you just have to cross the street. So the hotels, you know, in the area are pretty useful.
And much more plentiful in the past, I might say, because you're actually talking to a Columbus resident. I live in the South Side. I'm less than 5 minutes from the convention center. So depending on
traffic. So they can stay with you.
That means you found your volunteer, Joel.
Yeah. No.
Hey, Joel, we're going to hang at your house. What's the party at your house?
Never. I don't think anybody's going to be home at my house. Most definitely not Saturday.
Cool.
Probably
I'll
not
bring
Friday.
The beer.
So no, I don't think so. You don't want to come here.
So I want to apologize to Stephen McLaughlin, Door to Door Geek, because he'll be listening to the podcast tomorrow. and tell him I'm not going to his presentation because he's up against what aviation teaches about system administration.
I'll go to his presentation or ASM, but that's just because, you know, I like him. And we have the same last name. No relation.
Yeah, we only have about 3 video cameras. So if you have friends that that you really want some of their talk or all their talk to be videotaped, if you could do it yourself, that would be great because we can't. We have 8 tracks going at once, and when we have the tests going on Saturday, there's actually 9 rooms going at once. But I mean, to be spread that thin with like 2 or 3 cameras, we just can't get them all. So, if anybody should tape even part of a presentation with the author's, you know, presenter's permission, and they upload it to the presenter's YouTube site, please send us the link, because if you go to the Ohio Linux Fest YouTube channel, you'll only see 2 videos, but rather than to re-upload the videos onto our channel, there's a playlist that that was created that has previous videos from former presentations. And that's really helpful too. If you're going to submit a presentation, you can see what other people did and, you know, what it was like. But I started one for 2014. So that actually has a video cast that Vance and I were involved in here in Pittsburgh for the awesome cast that we were on for about a half an hour of an hour show that was a Google Hangout video. So yeah, we would like to archive as many videos as well as we can. And
yeah, I would definitely say, you know, get the speakers okay on that, but
yeah.
But we don't have any problem if you guys want to video a talk.
Yeah, and since we only have, unfortunately, there's only going to be myself, Rich is going to be there, and Alan, I think, is going to be there. I haven't heard of he's not coming yet, but, you know, just, you know, a lot, kind of hard to get all of the scheduling together to get us all at show like we have been in the past, and I don't know, it's not, I don't think it's so much the moving it to October, although,
everybody has different challenges. I mean,
right.
I've had one heck of a travel week, and you know, I'll be happy when this week's over.
Yep.
Well, I just wanted to say a little something about Saturday. This is the first year that I've done the social media for Ohio Linux Fest. And for those of you who are unaware, I'm Bethlyn Eicher's mother. And I'm also sort of a social media consultant here in Pittsburgh, as well as a retired nurse. And I am just flabbergasted, just amazed that there are 8 tracks going on at once on Saturday, plus the test. I mean, there is something here for everybody. And I mean, how can you beat it? It's the best show in town, you know?
Happy birthday.
Saturday's
my birthday, so
yeah.
Happy birthday.
Gotta be great. Well, and I'm looking forward, you know, being that we're not having a table this year. I'm looking forward to actually getting to attend some of the sessions. I've only ever done that a couple times. Usually when we have a table, we're kind of stuck at the table most of the time, and not having that overhead is going to work out for us. And we can at least get some more exposure to the show than we have in the past. Although I still have a blast even when we do have a table, because, you know, it's just nice to meet our fans for one, and other people as well. So I mean, it's, you know, the hallway track is a huge thing at a Linux Fest. You know, a lot of times I think it's the nice track.
Well, yeah, the expo track, the hallway track. The lunch track, the after party track, the Drury, you know, is actually a track in the breakfast and the kickback.
And then you can't forget.
Indeed.
There's the exclusive drinking and door-to-door geeks room with all of the keynote speakers.
Yeah, yeah, that's going on Friday night as well. But
So I want to see Mad Dog at 9 a.m. Does Mad Dog get up at 9 a.m.?
Supposedly he does. Actually, he's coming in from he's right now at a conference in Amsterdam. So depending on what time zone he's in, I think we might make that work.
Yeah, I want to see him sober at 9 a.m. I can't believe that's going to happen.
Well, something new is Lunch is on Your Own on Saturday. And so for the fellow that's here that knows about Columbus, we have all discovered this North Market as a real...
And get a giant...
We've had some really good lunches from there. And... You know, standard lunches from the food court, like Subways. I mean, you can't go wrong at Subways, but, you know, but it doesn't feel, yeah, you don't feel like you're on a trip, like a real experience unless you went to North Market. We're going to, you know, turn people loose for lunch and hopefully they'll come right back and have a much better lunch and the food won't be, you know, in a box with a sandwich and a bag of chips and a apple, you know, so.
Right. And here's an important thing too, that just happened to, for those who drink, you can get microbrew at the North Market and drink it there. It used to be you can just buy it and not drink it there, but you can now drink it with your dinner, with your lunch.
Joel, are you squeezing a kitty there?
Nope.
So we get to drink. I think I'm going to do like Chad Wallenberg. At NELF, Chad was really lit for his presentation and he did a really kick-ass job on it. I think I'm going to try to repeat that.
Nah.
Yeah, leave it to the
professionals. Yeah, I don't think we have buckets on standby.
No, Chad Wallenberg did a really great presentation at NELF and he was like lit up like you wouldn't believe.
That's not a good thing.
No, it was good. If you hear the audio from that presentation, it was really good. I'm not mocking him. I'm not being facetious. I'm giving him all the cred.
Yep. I believe the beer place is called The Barrel and the Bottle.
So I think I got to be part of Door-to-Door Geek's entourage this year. So if he goes, I'm going. Except for his talk.
There you go. Yep.
So what are you guys doing for the Friday night and or Saturday night post show event?
The Friday night show events. Anything? The happy hour is kind of what we're trying to do is like do an early preview of the expo area. So those exhibitors that have moved in, they'll be there and we'll have a cash bar there and people will just be welcome to hang out. You know, it'll kind of overlap with the Birds of a Feather. So, it's just going to be kind of a, you know, a way for people to mingle in there. And then for Saturday night, the after party, I don't have all the details, but I know that there's going to be a Halloween theme and, apparently we're going to be, I believe we're going to be showing Night of the Living Dead and Plan 9 from Outer Space. So so we're going to try to make it a little bit of a seasonal sort of a theme to the party.
And we did find, yeah, we found out that there was a really
That's
big
cool.
Party down on High Street, What is that? Short North? Short something? Yeah, and that's like the biggest whatever
yep.
Halloween party in any city or something like that. And so tying into that, like they're not going to miss their Halloween bash if they stay at Ohio Linux Fest because they'll be able to do it with us.
Yep, yep.
Joel, is Penn State, Ohio State out there on Saturday?
I do not know.
I'm pretty sure they don't have a home game that weekend, because that's always a consideration when we're picking a weekend, is trying to avoid OSU games.
No, it's at Penn State.
Yeah. Where the convention center is, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it would be as busy down there as it would be like up all around the shoe, but so far as hotels and all that goes, you know, there are a lot of hotels up by the horseshoe and campus, so it's probably a better place for them to stay there, although it wouldn't surprise me if some stayed downtown too, but.
I think we've been up against, football weekends in the past, and the hotels really seem to be pretty tight.
Yeah. That's something I wonder though, you know, but I think you have more concern though with being, scheduled across from the Blue Jackets, because there definitely would be a harder time to get in and out if
that's a
Blue Jacket game. But because the Blue Jackets are right there, so but yeah, Penn State's a yeah.
Well, speaking of this weekend,
so.
Sunday morning is another certification exam at 10, and then there's the diversity and open source. Workshop at noon, which is, really interesting. And then, I was planning on checking in on that and then, actually going to another convention right in the convention center this weekend, which is the Universal Life Expo, which is open until 6. So, if you're bringing along a partner, significant other that lets you whatever, have your fun with, all the computing wizardry that you wanted, that there's also other events in the convention center that can amaze or entertain your family while you come to Columbus. The Universal Life Expo is also a all-volunteer, not-for-profit organization that is features holistic health, metaphysical things, and psychics as well. So I hear they have 300 booths in this convention, but it's not free. It's $20 for a weekend. So, but it is reasonable. So, I did want to check that out before I go back to Pittsburgh, because it's a 3-hour drive. So might as well see another, event while I'm in town. Well, they have all kind, you know what? I've always wanted to have my tea leaves read. I actually found a tea leaf reading cup that had like the little symbols and what they meant like right along the side of the cup, and darned, I missed buying it because they wouldn't take a charge card and they needed cash and I didn't have cash in my wallet. But they have all kinds of things. So they have Reiki, energy work, massage, lectures, all kinds of things going on in there. And I don't know how they do it, but they have Indian food and Tibetan food and stuff like that in that convention. But anyhow, it's fun. If you have somebody along with you, you know, that really isn't into computers, they could stroll down and check it out. It's nice that it's in the same building on the same weekend.
Joel's
yeah,
just mad. He
yeah,
said he wished
yeah,
was
that
Comic-Con
would be interesting, you know.
Nah.
Yeah, so, sort of co-present with a maker fair and, maybe a pod camp or something, you know, but.
Awesome.
I'm really bummed that I'm going to miss it this year. I wish I could have gotten work to pay
too.
For coming down for the, particularly the OpenStack and the puppet stuff and Chef. Because we have that, we're pulling all that technology into our work environment over the next couple of months. And it would have been a fantastic thing to go to get a nice little primer on all that stuff.
Yeah,
in one
it's definitely going to be a lot of content there for, computing professionals. So I don't know. I guess I can't help convince your employer, but I don't know if you have a phone number, maybe I could try.
Yeah, my anniversary is this weekend, so that, I don't think that I can help you there at all.
Well, last year it was Pat's
anniversary. You can try and call the boss.
And, you know, this year Pat got tagged. Pat and I were going to carpool, and he got tagged to work. Boss man said, you got to work this weekend.
No, I just don't get why your wife wouldn't want to go to OLF for your anniversary, man, Fry.
Yeah, we're heading to...
Send her down the hall for a few massages. Sorry, Joel. She could get a couple massages for sure. Okay.
I actually already have that lined up for Saturday.
Yeah.
That might get my wife to Ohio.
There's those kinds of places around here. You just got to be careful. You gotta find the right ones.
What are you saying, Joel? Don't forget.
Hey, hon, have fun at that rubber
right
tug.
Into the gutter with Joel. Yeah, right into the gutter.
I didn't say the gutter. I
have
don't
a completely
want to be
tell
careful.
Tell her the hotel
mind.
Will
I have
a
no
hot
idea
tub.
What he was talking about.
You know.
Please. This is true.
Yeah.
You know,
does the Turian have a hot tub? Well, wait.
Yeah,
is that the community hot tub down by the pool?
No, if Joel's going, I'm not going.
No, I don't need a hot tub.
Joel's going to leave a ring around the hot tub.
No.
Wait, is that a kitten, Joel?
Yeah, who's squeezing the cat?
No.
What is that?
He's lying.
That sounds like a kitten. Do you have more kittens over there? You didn't get that cat fixed, did you? Man, Bob Barker would be shaking his head.
No, he wouldn't.
I think Joel's cooking them. I think that's what's going on. He's got a kitten farm.
Yeah, I'm selling them to the local Chinese restaurant, right?
That's not appropriate, Joel.
I kid.
So back to OLF now that Joel's cats are done.
Well done.
What does the turnout look to be like this year? So
I think it's looking good. I mean,
is it looking really good?
I don't know. I haven't checked the numbers.
I think, you know, counting OLFI, we're probably way over 700 right now. Like a little over 700. But, you know, there's still more people that walk in that haven't registered. So it could go higher than that. So, you know, and,
I think we need a Budweiser to sponsor it, the event. I think you get more people in that way.
Budweiser. Who is sponsoring the event this year? Let's see.
Yeah, a lot of the sponsors are very cool, like Hewlett Packard. They've really helped us out with sponsoring and
yeah.
Yeah, and they also
they were there last year, and they were at NELF.
The raffle item is, but I know that they in the past that they had a really nice raffle prize that they donated for us to sell the tickets for.
Yeah,
I'm using my HP earbuds.
Platinum
I got
sponsors
last year.
This year are HP and Chef, and. Blanking out on the rest of them, we have Linotus. Okay, yeah.
Silicon Mechanics, Expedient, Citrix, Pogo Linux, Red Hat. You know who I don't see on your sponsor list?
Yeah, you'll
I'm
have
surprised.
To ask Ron Ball about
Google?
That. I don't know what happened with Google. I don't know if the people that were our contacts are moving on, and then it's hard to break in to, you know... To get the sponsorships if the people that knew about you and had been sponsoring you have, you know, moved to a different position. But yeah, I was surprised I didn't see Google as well.
But it's good to see Red Hat is there. Red Hat and.
Yeah.
Oh, Think Penguin's there too.
We're lucky, I guess, that we do have, as many sponsors as we do, but we also need the support of people there to, you know, buy raffle tickets. We're going to try to sell off our vintage line t-shirts for, t-shirts over the past, 5 to 10 years here that we have, stockpiled brand new. But we do count on that to help us put over the top because the convention center is a very, expensive place to have the, convention center. Yeah, there's Red Hat, Oracle. I don't want to miss out on anybody, but, if you go to OhioLinuxFest.org/sponsors, we're certainly grateful to all the sponsors for, keeping the price low or free for the, enthusiast registration and to keep it with the whole theme of free software and free, free admission.
So can I ask you guys a question? And Joel mentioned it like, hey, if we have a table, we got to hang out around the table and, you know, talk to people and stuff like that, which is fun. I don't want to put a drag on it. But for me, last year was my first year and, you know, every 10 or 15 minutes, I'd sit down at the table for a spell and then I'd go to a talk. So the other guys were manning the table. Now for you, do you get to enjoy it at
all?
Well, I pretty much don't get to see any
of the talks. I mean, you can kind of move from around from room to room and maybe catch, you know, a few minutes of each one. But, I do have to say that, I don't really get to sit down and sort of watch an entire talk, at any time. So, it's a little bit different because I guess I've been coming to the event since 2004 and, you know, the first few years, you know, I could watch a lot of what was happening. And now we're really just kind of facilitating it for everybody else. So we kind of rely on everybody else to say, okay, this was good or this was bad. Cause we don't have our own eyes on, you know, what the different talks were and, what people were interested in. We try to do some counts to see how many people show up for each talk to get an idea of what talks are popular, but, we'll probably, we don't have any plans yet, but I imagine that sometime after the conference, we'll put out a survey. So any feedback you can give us would be great on that.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons we need volunteers, too, so that if the staff is there at the registration table and, geez, we'd like to see a keynote, too, you know, that somebody who isn't particularly interested in a topic could, like, free us up so that you'd have, like, a volunteer and maybe one staff person instead of, you know, so many of us tied up ourselves. So we would like to experience that. For me, one of the highlights of the show is the ending keynote, which is the one that we can kind of, you know, wrap up the registration desk and go into, as well as the ending ceremony, which follows the last keynote. And that's where they raffle off the door prize and they, you know, say thank you to people. And it's more of a time to let your hair down and really, say, aha, we did it. Even though there is Sunday, but like, it's a very, heartwarming place to be in that final ending ceremony. And, for the people that stay and they, clap for the whatever, for the effort and the work that was put into the show, that really gives those of us who are working hard on it that nice warm fuzzy that makes us feel that yes, it was all worthwhile. And so that's my favorite part. So
now, how long have you, Susan and Vance, been
participating in Ohio Linux Fest?
The first one I attended was 2004, and then I started helping out, I think it was 2006 maybe, but just kind of like odd jobs here and there. So, really this is the first year that I really have any sort of official, sort of position. Before now, I've just been kind of helping out with random things here and there, working on setting up all the audio recordings for all the different rooms. But yeah, it's kind of gotten to a different level now.
Yeah, Vance has done a terrific job being speaker chair, and so I just can't even tell you how many things that he's done, and he's done right. You know, he's really been such an asset. I just hope we don't burn him out, because he's so darn good this year, with not only reviewing the speaker submissions and communicating back and forth with them, but also, you know, doing the webpage work with setting up the schedule and arranging the dinner for the keynote speakers, and communicating back and forth with the keynote speakers, and keeping our fingers crossed the keynote speakers were really going to get the schedule into the schedule, and that they would be able to come when we would like them to come. So all of those things, was a really big job for Vance. Now, for me, Susan Rose, my daughter went to, University of Pittsburgh for information science. And from there, she got involved in, Linux and open source, and was probably one of the founders of WPLG, which is Western Pennsylvania Linux Users Group. And in 2003 that it started, or 2002?
2003 was the first one, and that was at Ohio State.
Okay, 2003, my daughter went and just kind of fell in love with the conference, and has been back there every year since. So as I noticed this, she would ask me, you know, do I want to come along? And I was still working as a nurse at the time, so I don't know if it was like maybe 2008 or something I started coming, and I was just a ticket taker. I would take, you know, check people's armbands and take tickets and help out. And then towards 2000, maybe 10 or 11, the penguins, she got the penguins from the from the zoo. The zookeepers brought live penguins to the stage and gave us a little talk about penguins, since that was our, Tux was our mascot. And I actually had to, stand at the back door of the, of the convention center to meet the van that was bringing the penguins to show them where the, the stage was, to return the penguins loose. And so, I also did things like, you know, ran to Kinko's and got evaluation forms and put up signs and did stick tack and put signs on the walls and things like that. And it wasn't until about 2012 that my daughter reminded me that I was using, free open source software as a nurse at the VA hospital with, Vista, which is a, it might have started out the scheduling software, but, it has, different, components to it, that it started out scheduling, and then it got into charting, and then it got into, just the whole electronic medical record, the labs, the x-rays, and everything, the different, components to it. I was teaching nursing informatics, and I explained to my students that these different parts of the electronic medical record was like, putting a dozen cupcakes in a cake pan, and then try to get them to talk to each other, and then put this nice frosting over the top of all of them so you think it's actually one cake. And that was like the GUI, what they saw finally, that was instead of the blue screen and white, you know, lettering. Then when we got the GUI back in, I guess that was about 98, the VA was ahead of its time. And It was like sausage. You didn't want to know how it was made in there. I think it was like mumps or something like that that was the programming. But I was actually using free open source software. I mean, besides the fact of using Firefox and Mozilla and the things that I had in my computer. So anyhow, I led a medical track in 2011 and 2012 that had tracks about free and open source software in with medical applications. And that was really nice. But now I'm just helping out the whole main conference, and if anybody would in the future like to submit medical related talks, that would be great. There's actually a number of people that are in medical startups that are involved with Ohio Linux Fest, and Cover My Meds is one of them. As a nurse, that was a big thing to try to get help for patients to get their non-formulary meds approved for payment or through various pharmacies, and Cover My Meds definitely helps with that. But there's a lot of information about, oh gosh, there's probably dozens of open source electronic medical records, but the VA of course has the biggest and the best, and people can download it for free, as a matter of fact. I don't want to get out on a bent too much about medical open source, but anyhow, you asked how I was involved in it. So this year there was a position came open with social media, and PR for Ohio Linux Fest. So I just, slid into that. And I've been doing that with, not only Ohio Linux Fest, but I'm helping out other nonprofits in Pittsburgh and nationally with the Holistic Nurses Association with their social media. So, that's my calling, and that's how I'm connected to Ohio Linux Fest.
That's awesome. I do believe I've met you over the past years at Ohio Linux Fest. I know I've seen you there, and I know I've spoken to you, and because I've talked with Beth Lynn, and she's done a fantastic job of what she's done with Ohio Linux Fest and Courtney. I know there were years where she was pretty much the go-to person for Ohio Linux Fest for a long time, and it's good to see that she's back. I was it last year
well,
that she wasn't
no,
as
she was
much
still
of an
involved
active role
last
the year,
year
before?
I'm trying to think
I can't recall.
I don't know, would that be when she was moving to Chicago? Was that
She's always been like the behind the scenes, you know, connector. You know, she has a lot of connections with some of the sponsors that have sponsored the fest over the years. So so among other some of the many things she does, her and Rob Ball actually help with the getting the sponsorship for it. But I used to call Ohio Linux Fest my grandchild, because my daughter was married 11 years. And so now maybe we'll have a real grandchild coming along, and when you meet her, you'll understand why. And so Ohio Linux Fest, can be another grandchild, I guess, for myself.
Whoa.
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
You know,
I don't know what's going to happen next year then, man, because she's going to have
her hands
full.
Our speaker chair just had a child this year too. Conference chair just had a child, not too long ago. Oh, yeah. Oops. Sorry, Vance.
Shh, you weren't supposed to talk about Vance.
So that's another reason why we need more, you know, volunteers, you know, and people to come out in between conference time to meet up with us. You know, we do a post-conference meeting. We do a couple planning meetings during the year that are in person. And then we have an IRC chat, kind of like you folks do. And lately it's been every Sunday. There are a few Sundays that we don't, but it's pretty much all year round that we meet up on, Sunday nights on IRC. And, plus to stay connected with Ohio Linux Fest, there's the Facebook page, there's Twitter, there's, believe it or not, there's a number of open source Facebook initiatives. So I hear. But there is a Google Plus page. There's a Google Plus event too.
Is there a Google
there
Plus
page? There is a LinkedIn group. So we're all over social media. So if you want to stay connected to the community that is Ohio Linux Fest, we talk about other things, not just the fest, during the course of the year. And we definitely promote and applaud the other Linux conventions and free open source conventions. My daughter and I went to Scale one year together, and she's been quite a few other years to Scale, and she's been to Southeastern Linux Fest. My daughter and I went to Las Vegas for the CES convention in January. And, that year that we went, Conical was there. And so, there are some, people to meet up with even in Las Vegas at the CES convention. So, she and Phil went to Toronto when they were having Linux Fest up in Toronto. But, we see it not just as Ohio Linux Fest. We see it as a whole movement, as a philosophy of free and open source. And, that's one of the things I wanted to say about the theme this year, which is, building a free future, or the future of free. The whole philosophy behind it, of the creativity, the collaboration, doing something because it's cool, because it's, you know, and getting that personal satisfaction for it, and helping other people, that it's actually making the world a better place. And if you go down the list of the keynote addresses and speakers there, they're all tied into the new movement that's going into the future with the maker community, whether that's, you know, a default to open source, is it going to be just a bigger part of the whole open source movement, the whole maker Arduino Raspberry Pi, thing universe kind of stuff. And then the whole thing about the Linux that you don't see, that Ken Starks is talking about, the embedded Linux everywhere. And, John Mad Dog Hall is talking about, modern day GNU Linux. It's not 1984 anymore. And Alex Bandar's, you know, he's talking about open source in the maker movement as well. So we're going into the future we're doing it collaborating with all kinds of creative and sharing individuals that are helping to build our future. So the future's going to come anyway, so we might as well prepare for it and do it as a tribe, as a team. And Ohio Linux Fest is a part of that whole movement, and the other cons and the other tech centers, shops, all the things that are going on right now. Do you have any comments about that? Well, both, but yeah, both, yeah.
Are you asking us, or are you asking Vance? Oh, okay.
We're trying to
I can't promise anything at this moment,
but we can ask Alex Bandar Friday night. He's from the Columbus Idea Foundry, if they have any spare 3D printers.
Yeah.
You got to print an award for the best 100% open Cold Fusion presentation.
The only one.
No, I do have to say when that, yeah. I saw that one come in because I was not, I was not familiar with the project that you were talking about, Rilo, and it was one of those things that kind of struck me as, you know, it seems sort of unusual, but I kind of like those sort of niche things because this is a way for, you know, free software to serve a need that nobody else will support. I mean, you have all these people out here who probably have all this legacy websites built on Cold Fusion, and, you know, here's a way that they can support themselves.
Well, I don't really want to punch my software mother in the stomach, but Adobe Cold Fusion costs a stinkload of money. And, you know, for clients and things that I want to spin up, I'll just use either OpenBlue Dragon or Rilo, and they work great. I actually have OpenBlue Dragon running on a Pogo plug. Oh, and hopefully the box gets here.
Oh, cool.
Because I'm going to be leaving Thursday night. The Rilo folk have sent out some swag for me to give out. So I'm hoping it gets here.
How long of a trip is it for you?
Because I'm probably going to be leaving tomorrow night and driving out.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm in beautiful Long Island, so it's 10 hours. And I really got to get through the city before Friday a.m., so I'm... You know,
well,
probably gonna finish
coming.
Up work, tomorrow, take a nap,
it
and then hop in the car.
It makes my 3-hour drive look like
dark
a piece of cake. gosh. And that Pennsylvania Turnpike
I'm send
is
you
not
a bill.
Cheap.
I had to get here from Florida first, so.
Yeah.
The Pennsylvania Drainpike, you mean?
I don't know. Buffalo or New York's isn't any better because I just took a trip up to Buffalo not too long ago. But yeah,
Murphy said it's 8 hours for him.
Yeah,
I've been telling him we're gonna race because we both got fast cars.
Yeah, might be a bit too messy for him to ride his motorcycle.
I don't think he'd drive a bike on that trip. I mean, that's a dumber trip.
He's done it.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not. Yeah, it's maybe 5 minutes. 5 minutes, like, probably now, but...
Joel, shut up.
Probably about 10 minutes for me. No one can be... Dan's, what, 12 hours, I think, if you decided to drive?
Yeah, and I guess Door-to-Door Geek's in the same range. And
it's about 11 hours.
And Jonathan Nadeau. Nadeau's right.
I think Door is about an hour or two less than mine because I have to travel further north than he does. He has, I think, more of a straight shot and a little up. But I'm not gonna debate who has the shorter drive.
Yeah, I think Dort took tomorrow off also, and I don't know when he's traveling. I think he's leaving sometime tomorrow.
Yeah, he is.
So I think Jonathan Nadeau came down the night before or something like that. So do we announce our podcaster meetup?
Yep. For those who aren't aware, we are having a podcaster meetup at Schmidt's Sausage House. It's on Kossuth Street. If you need directions, just ping me on Google Plus or even on the tech show email. We can get that out to you. But good sausages, good beer, cream puffs. If you've never been there before. Their dessert is a big giant cream puff, and it's actually quite good. I've had them before, so.
Just like Joel.
Yeah, that's right. Nice and poofy.
So this is where everybody's gotta be sworn to secrecy and not tell my wife what I eat this weekend.
He's going to be a pig.
Yeah, especially if you're... Are you staying at the Drury Inn?
Yes, I am.
And you're going to have that...
Everything.
That
the buffet, hot dogs.
The buffet thing.
Oh, wait, wait.
Yeah, they have hot dogs and wine. I mean, that's really good.
I should have sworn I saw you eating hot dogs last year. I know you had, like, two baked potatoes.
Yeah.
They class it up then.
No, if I had a hot dog, you would have seen me in the emergency room.
Dan had White Castle last year.
Rich, is your wife on Facebook or Google Plus at all?
Yeah, but she doesn't do that stuff.
No, but everybody else there will be taking pictures of you and posting it, tagging you on there.
Yeah, she really does the social media thing.
Also planning on sometime after the show, probably, I don't know what time yet. We're playing it by ear. We're going to go to the Happy Greek as well sometime.
Yeah, you know what? I will get away with eating whatever I want if my wife knows or not, because I'm buying her a house.
Of course. A nice house.
A house I'd like to see once in a while.
You just need to get a job in Florida.
Yeah, you know, hopefully it'll happen.
Or like mine, it's remote, so,
But then, also, I'm gonna have enough rooms that I can, everybody can come down and hang with me.
It sounds good.
Except, yes, yeah. Yeah, looks like we're gonna have two guest rooms.
Is it near the water?
So, yeah, I can bring some folk down once we get the place furnished.
Uh-huh.
Well, Jupiter is, I think the house might be 5 miles from the ocean. If it's that far. It's probably like a 15-minute drive. But you probably wouldn't want to leave the house, because it's like
one of those
like
screened-in
pools? Oasis.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pool, hot tub. Yeah, I will be too if I pay for it.
Wait, you're definitely getting that place, Rich?
Oh, yeah, I'm cleaning out the 401k.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, I just hope to see it once in a while.
That's where you can host the Florida Linux Fest.
Yeah, for my two best friends. That'd be Jonathan and Dor, in case anybody's wondering.
Well, Suzanne Vance, do you have anything else you'd like to
say
about
Ohio Linux
Fest?
Actually, we haven't been looking at the IRC channel. Does anybody have
yet or anything else
any questions about anything?
they're wondering what kind of birthday cake
you're
going to get me on
Saturday. What was that for? I can't remember.
It was for the 10-year anniversary of Ohio Linux Fest, so we've surpassed that milestone. You know what? I just wanted to say before we sign off, I'm pretty proud of the fact that the program physical program, looks great. And it is available as a PDF to download it and print it at home if you want. Or, you know, I don't know, you're sitting on the plane or, you know, passenger in the car, you want to circle stuff and we want to have it before you get there, before you get spun around and not knowing what classroom you want to go to. Although you can always see the schedule on there, but to actually have the PDF program that you can print, that's the second news item on the OLF website at ohiolinux.org. The first little blurb in the web page is a link list of where all the links are, like a site map. And then the second one is a direct link to the physical program. So you can actually handle it. You can print it. You can put it under your pillow. You can love it, you know, and it's beautiful. And, one of the staff, his wife actually did it. She's a librarian. Catherine Hughes Courtney created the program, and it's just lovely. So check it out.
Oh, I guess one item that we didn't we didn't hit, which is going to be another new thing that we're doing this year, is we're going to have lightning talks at 5 p.m. on Saturday. It's going to be one of the, it'll be running at the same time as some other talks, but that'll be an opportunity if you want to get up and talk about something for 5 minutes. It'll just be kind of a random set of subjects as to whoever shows up and has something to talk about, they'll get a chance to do it. Yeah, unfortunately. Well, that's true. I guess everybody's going to be at Rich's talk, so.
All two of our listeners, both of them.
Yeah.
So Ohio Linux Fest last year was the first time I was there, and it was fun because, I'm sitting in my home office. I have no idea anything about our listeners, and unless when they send us hate mail, and which has kind of died down. So I'm worried that the haters don't even listen to us anymore. And people, come up and they'd recognize my voice. They say, "Hey, you're Rich, right?" I'm like, "Yes, I am." They're like, "Oh yeah, I listen." So that it was real fun just walking around and not even that I was behind the table and people were saying hi, but that, just randomly people would come up and say hello. So that was,
yeah,
that
I mean,
was
we try,
nice
we
event.
Try to really make it, to have
plus
a community feel. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons why we, are committed to having a free registration. We don't want it to become just another corporate promotional event. So we want all the content to be, generated from the community. I mean, we had, this is an open call for proposals. So, the people who are going to be up there talking, those are people who are actually doing this stuff, out in the world. So, I think it has a really great feel.
Oh yeah, it's always good stuff. I usually do a lot of aviation events, and I actually haven't done any this year, which is kind of unusual. So I did Northeast Linux Fest.
Yeah, I mean
to OLF is going to be fun. So it's just
we
fun
have other
seeing all the people.
Community events, like you said, the Northeast Linux Fest. You have Southeast Linux Fest. Actually, on the same weekend, there's one happening in Seattle. So I didn't want to give the idea that we were the only ones out there, but, there are probably in, if you're in this part of the country, in terms of, central, eastern sort of part of the country, this is probably going to be the closest one. I think I saw something just recently, Was it Kansas outside Kansas City? They're going to start up a new conference. So it's always cool to see. Yeah, it's always cool to see new ones pop up like that.
Good barbecue there. So if you go to Kansas City for
Linux Fest, you get to go to Arthur Bryant's and
get the world's best barbecue. Oh man, it's this, there's two Arthur Bryants in town and the original place is kind of, it's not terribly clean, it's not terribly modern, it's not just real down home and just great barbecue. And you can buy their barbecue sauce and take it home and it's super, super good. Plus, it's kind of a stomping ground for all of the presidents
like
to drop in. That's kind of a thing they have to do. I don't know who made that the first one, but if you look at the wall, there's a lot of the president's pictures there eating barbecue.
At least he's not taking a selfie.
And Michelle Obama scowling at her husband.
No.
But Joel can tell us all the best, oh, all the best places to eat in Columbus.
Joel's ate at them all.
You already named the.
And that's just in one day.
A lot of them. Actually, the North Market actually has had, I just looked at the map and they've had totally revamped. A lot of stores that, we've known for the past are gone.
No,
but there are some
can we still get
ones.
Big pretzels?
There's the pretzels still there.
Okay.
But, the little family deli is gone, but it's now replaced by
beer?
And a better deli. Actually, that is where the beer is, but.
Yeah.
There's a local deli by the name of Katzinger's. They're very well known here in Columbus, and the big thing they're known for is when you walk into their first location.
Katzinger's? What's the place?
Katzinger's.
Oh, not Katzinger's?
No, Katzinger's. Like, K-T-Z, Zingers. Katzinger's. Okay. And one thing they're known for is while you're waiting for your sandwich to be made, at least at their main location, I don't know about the North Market one, but they have basically a barrel of pickles. You can just reach in and grab one and eat as many as you want.
You wear a glove when you do that? You're grabbing other people's pickles there?
Well, I assume they probably have tongs or something sanitary, but yeah, I mean, there's basically free pickles. So, also my favorite coffee place
What if you get online and make it just like you ordered something and you wanted a free pickle? You think that swings or no?
No. But my favorite coffee place here in Columbus is Stoff's Coffee Roasters, local place. They opened a stand in the North Market as well now, so you can get some really good coffee at the North Market. There's a bunch of new places. Some I've known for years. They've just basically opened up. They moved Jenny's. It's closer to the front door now. Yeah, Jenny's is by far the best ice cream you're going to find in Columbus. I suggest the salty caramel or Bangkok peanut.
Joel, I'm telling you, Church, you're talking dirty on the air again.
Rich. But... outside of North Market, though, like I said, up north of the convention center is the Happy Greek. Then you've got not too far from the convention center. It's kind of a walk if you wanted to walk. It's not too bad of a walk. But there's a store, little grocery store called Hills Market. And they have quite a selection of beer there. And... you know, of course, groceries. So if you want to go grab like a 12 pack of pop or something, that's probably the closest place to the convention center and your best bet. So there's tons of places to go in Columbus. Columbus is known for a lot of food. The guys from Man vs. Food have been to Columbus and been to the Thurman Cafe over on Whittier. That's a little bit of a drive. And then down in my neighborhood, the Ohio Deli, which is the home of the Dagwood Challenge. So, of course, you've probably heard me talk about that.
So what you're saying is Columbus is known for being a pig.
Yeah, well, you know, White Castle's is headquartered here. Wendy's was headquartered here at a time.
If you have me over to your house Friday night, I'll cook filet mignon with a red wine reduction sauce.
No, thank you. That's too ritzy for me. I don't go for that stuff.
It's too ritzy for me, too, but I just eat it.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? How could you say that's too ritzy? That's good eats, man.
Didn't say it wasn't.
Hey, I go to Costco, I buy a loin of filet for like $100 and I feed 10 people with it. That works out to a pretty cost effective meal.
Mm-hmm.
How about you come down here or come up, wherever the case may be where you're living. You go to Costco, get me a loin of filet, and then you could go home and I'll eat the filet. How's that sound?
They need a Virginia Linux Fest, man, don't they?
Well, that would be nice. I mean, I wouldn't have to go very far. But it depends on where in Virginia it is. If it's at, like, Virginia Tech, that's a 6-hour drive for me. That's still a little bit of a haul. Half the haul that it takes to get to Ohio Linux Fest. But that, or, well, there is the Northeast Linux Fest, but that's... Southeast Linux Fest is close enough.
Hey Dan, Thursday night, I think I'm hopping in my truck and, or next Thursday, I'm hopping in my truck and heading south. So, you know, I'll stop in, we'll have a beer.
Are you coming, where are you going?
I'm gonna take my truck to Florida.
Which route are you taking?
Crap if I know. Whatever one goes south.
Well, there's a couple of them going south. I mean, are you going down the coast all the way or are you going down 95?
No, I'm probably gonna go down 95.
Cause if you're gonna stop by my place, you're about at 2 hours off of 95. Yeah. And you have to be really careful on the day because, and time, because you'll hit the Busch Gardens traffic.
Hi Lily.
Still this time of year?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Still this time of year?
It's the Hallow Screams. So they're open until like right after Halloween.
Yeah, yeah, Universal's got Fright Nights and all that. I've been wanting to go down to Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like it's Gringotts and the Hogwarts Express, and that's the only rides there. I'm like, what do they got that's really going to make it worthwhile?
At Universal or at...
Yeah, Universal. You know, since I've been to Universal, been there, done that. And not that I wouldn't go again, because there's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, Busch Gardens down here is pretty good.
Oh, wait, I forgot.
I like going there.
I'm
going
to be house poor. I can't afford to do that kind of thing anymore.
That's right. You're out. That's it. So are you going to still have the house in New York, too?
Yeah, so when my wife kicks me out, I got a place to go.
Wow. Man, you could be – all your money's been going to that house in Florida, and you could be stuck up in New York, like going back and forth between the Albany or something
for
work.
Yep.
There'll be swimming and lounging in the jacuzzi, and you'll call up
send
and
me
it'll be 3 feet of snow.
They're going to tell me, oh, the jets aren't working on the hot tub. Honey, I need you to hang a picture for me next time you're down.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we're here.
I do have a question for you, gentlemen. And I don't know, is Vance and Suzanne still on? Oh, okay. Have you seen the trailer for Age of Ultron yet?
I saw that it
just
leaked.
Got leaked today.
I was gonna say, I saw that it leaked. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, it's sweet. I'm a big Marvel
fan. They're supposed to do it, during Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. next Tuesday, right?
Correct. But it got leaked, and now they put out the high-definition trailer. They pulled it, and then they put the high-definition one out, so...
Is it on YouTube?
I guess cat's out of the bag. I just watched it right before the show, and it's still available. I don't know if it's on YouTube. I just did a search for it.
Is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. still going strong?
Yeah.
I got to start... just because I don't watch TV, I just saw a couple episodes.
Yes.
And...
Yes. Actually, Marvel has put out a comment blaming Hydra for the leaked Avengers trailer. So that's pretty cool. But no, Agents of S.H.I.L.D. is good. I'm really enjoying it this year.
Yeah,
I
am too.
Have superpowered bad guys on there.
How many episodes they got in?
Three?
Yeah.
I think it's three. I don't know if four.
Wait, do they do a full 22 episode a season?
I believe they're going to do a full season. Did you watch it last year?
Yeah.
Did you watch it last year?
I think I saw the first three or four.
I'll tell you what, man. It got really awesome how they tied it into Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't get into it,
now,
but yeah. Yeah.
On a side note, not Marvel, have any of you seen Gotham or Flash yet?
I've been watching Gotham.
Have you watched Flash?
No.
I love Flash.
Is it good?
I was very, very surprised at Flash. I expected it to be kind of campy, you know, and not that great, but I think they nailed it out of the park. One of the things that I really enjoyed about Flash was both of the episodes so far have had metahumans in them. Like, it's not just like these stopping bank robbers and stuff like that. I mean, the first guy was the Weathermaster. The second guy was a guy who can, if you, when you hit him or he hits himself, it creates multiples of him. I don't know who he's actually called in the DC universe, but the equivalent in Marvel's like Multiple Man. But it was just really, really good. It's a fun show, and I highly recommend it.
Oh, I was going to say something. Because I don't watch TV in New York and only in Florida, I saw Airplane Repo. Has anybody seen that show?
Did they take yours?
No, God bless them if they can take my plane.
No, what is Airplane Repo?
Well, they're repossessing airplanes.
Well, yeah, obviously, but why?
Well, because... Is it,
because people haven't made their
payments? Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and I couldn't picture anything scarier to do than getting in a plane that you have no knowledge of and flying it.
Oh, they actually hop in and take off with it? It'll just come by and hook it up to a trailer or something and drive away?
Yeah, they're like breaking into the hangar and taking off in the plane. And the guy's a mechanic. I got to ask some buddies of mine and find out. He put 2 9-volt batteries together to start a Learjet because it needed 18 volts for the contactor to close. I'm like, are you kidding me? I thought that was so hokey, but they do drum it up a bit. And I was joking with, Fred the pilot. He flies, oh gosh, is it Embraer or I forget what kind of plane he flies. And, I'm like, Fred, do you ever repo a plane? He's like, nah. And I'm like, well, you know what? I'm going to do my own YouTube channel on plane repoing, but I'm going to do it with my friend's planes and just mock it up. And cause they have this like overly false suspense about the event. Because I'm talking to people about repoing the plane is you go to the sheriff and the sheriff goes with you to the airport and you take possession of the plane and that's how it is. It's not like you got night vision goggles and you're like stalking the fence of the airport and jumping over. But
yeah, it's funny how on these reality
YouTube
shows they don't spend a lot of time
like
repoing
my
paperwork.
Friend's planes. Well, yeah. I couldn't tell you how many of them I like the guy's shooting at him, and I'm like, "Are you kidding?"
I didn't watch that one, but I watched a couple episodes of that one. I can't remember the name of it, but it's the one where they basically go look for drivers who basically just took off with their loads or stuff, something like that. It's either
really?
Took off with the, yeah, they either took the, they took off with the load or the load got stolen. There was at least one episode where, they found the truck, but, what had happened is the driver actually passed away. So basically these shipping companies either shipping companies or companies that are shipping product or something to that effect, you know, all of a sudden they'll have a load come up missing and then they'll pay these guys like a bounty to
I got
find
a funny
the truck
story for
him. Yeah. Right.
So early in my career, I've had a very interesting career working for all sorts of companies. One of the companies I worked for was a collection agency, and they had what's called a skip tracer. And skipping is when you owe the bank some money and you leave town and they're, you know, kind of without a trace. And there's all sorts of techniques to track people down. And this is pre-internet, you know, so it's not like you find them on Facebook or something like that. So the funniest ever skip trace story was the guy took a loan and the reason for the loan and the loan paperwork was to go back to South America. And they couldn't figure out why he didn't pay. So the skip tracer reads the documentation. It's like, guys, he's in Colombia. Like he said he was going to.
Yep. All kinds of interesting stuff on TV. Some if I have the time for. I know, that's the issue. Yeah. That's why I don't, now, I watched Last Man Standing. I love that show, mostly because of the ham radio bent on that show. Ham radio doesn't get featured every show, but every once in a while you get to see his ham shack. Last Thanksgiving, they had, his episode, that happened that week. He actually did talk about ham radio. And actually the really cool thing, since his character, Tim Allen's character, was playing a ham amateur radio operator, since then he actually went, studied, and he now is the holder of a technician class amateur radio license.
Very cool.
So, yeah, I'm trying to remember what it is. It's a, it's escaping me right now, but, the call they have in the show is KA0XTT, which stands for, well, first off, it's an experimental call by FCC standards, but they let them use it for the show. And, the XTT stands for X Tim Taylor. So, as an homage to his old show, but his other one, he actually holds the license under his, real name instead of his stage name, Tim Allen. So, you can find it. It's out on the web. It was actually announced on, they did a special event radio station, not so much a contest, but just a special event station they set up called the call sign K6H, that operated from the set of Last Man Standing, which also happens to be the set where they filmed Seinfeld in California. And,
you mean they didn't film Seinfeld New York?
No, they did not. But, and other shows have been on that set as well. But they, I should probably go into my, handheld logs and pull that one out and send a QSL card to them, because they'll send me a special K6H QSL card. But anywho, W5KUB, or Tom Medlin, he's known for he streams video as he drives to and from the Dayton Hamvention, and at the Hamvention, he'll also stream video, and he also does it at, like, I think the Huntsville Hamfest and a few of the others. Anyway, he drove out to California for the K6H event, and that's how they announced, that Tim had to got his ham radio license, which is really, really cool. So maybe someday I can talk to Tim Allen.
That's pretty cool. I guess we gotta wrap things up, because yes. I got things to do.
Ohio Linux Fest this weekend.
Yeah.
Everyone, we'll see you there. It'll be
Except
me,
Dan.
Rich. Me,
Sign
Rich.
Sign up now. Yes. OhioLinux.org.
Me and Rich.
Me and Rich and maybe Alan. I think he's coming.
There we go. Don't forget to register before you show up.
Or
give them a break. We'll take money anyway.
Actually, no.
Yeah.
Don't register until you show up, so that way you can donate some money to them.
Well, you can pre-register and donate money at the same time. So it's good for them to know how many people to maybe expect. It always helps. Make sure you do register. Rich, what are we doing with our promo, man? Has that gone anywhere?
I thought you were in charge of where it goes.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought there was going to be more added.
I was going to say, we need to add music to it, man. It's just too
Before
blind.
We hand it out to people?
We should get Pegwell on that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. As much as I love Pegwell, he's too busy burying bodies right now. But it'd probably be the next Ice Age before he got to it. And how did he do a promo for us that said 8 o'clock? How did he not know that?
I don't know. Anyway, as Joel used to say. You haven't said that in a while, Joel. Is Manfry still on?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, well, thank you, Man Fry and Pat.
Hey, that trailer
Joel
was awesome
coming
too, Dan,
on.
By the way.
Yeah,
I found
good
it
stuff.
There, yeah.
And I want to thank you, Vance and Suzanne, for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. I know that OLF is going to be fantastic. I'm just sad that I will not be there to experience it again. My daughter and I were there last year. We had a fantastic time.
I had a fun time with both of you guys.
I'm hoping next year. I mean, if it wasn't for the additional kid this year and everything, we could have probably worked.
No,
it out.
We'll miss you, and we appreciate all the connections that the tech show has had with us over the years.
Definitely, we do appreciate it, and we'll always keep that connection open because we love what you do. And we think it's great and wonderful for the community and very important. Anything else? Anybody else for the good of the show, or is that it for this week?
I think it's done. Stick a fork in it.
All right. Let's do it. Thank you very much.
You got to play my promo?
We will. We gotta find the promo now.
Aww.
What do I do with it? No. What was it called?
I think it was called Rich something MP3. RH MP3 maybe.
I don't know what I did with it. I'll find it. Let me play this out, then I'll play it after. Alright, we'll do it for you, Rich. Here we go. Thank you. Have a good one.
One out of seven people in the world have some type of disability. The problem is the majority of these people can't access computers and other devices that we take for granted in this technological revolution that we live in. The Accessible Computing Foundation wants to solve this problem. We will develop free assistive technology that runs on computers and the everyday gadgets that surround us. The United Nations has stated that access to the internet should be a human right. Well, we at the ACF think access to the devices and computers that bring us to the internet should be a human right. So join the ACF at theacf.co. That's the theacf.co and become a member. You can join for as little as $2 a month, which is only 50 cents a week. Now let's silence the outcry of those people wanting to access devices once and for all and bring them accessible freedom.
Linux Luddites is a show where we try out all the latest free and open source software and then decide we like the old stuff better.
More than just news and releases, we check out a wide range of Linux distros, cover your feedback, talk about obscure command line programs, discuss burning issues over a pint, and much, much more. So join me, Paddy.
And me, Joe, every 2 weeks for news, reviews, comment, and generally being grumpy at LinuxLuddites.com.
Linux Luddites, because not all change is progress.
Hi folks, this is Chatter. Gay Wisher Haunty Magoo 5150 and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
The Sunday Morning Linux Review is a weekly podcast with three hosts, Tony Bemis, Matt Enders, and Mary Tomich. They talk about Linux and open source subjects ranging from kernel updates, newly released Linux distros, Linux reviews, and tech news of the week. There are also special segments including Mary's Quiz Show, Is It Alive? They broadcast live on Google On Air, Audio Stream, and chat on IRC. For details, please visit the website www.smlr.us.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
I don't know where I put the promo.
I don't know, but I've been hearing you whistly booger through all the promos.
Good.
Like I said.
Is it MP? It is an MP3 file, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Better than a whistling butthole.
The Linux Link Tech Show, live every Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Tune in to the world's longest running Linux podcast. On the web, www.tllts.org. By email, techshow@thelinuxlink.net. IRC channel, thelinuxlink.net, port 6667/techshow. And Flying Rich is so hot.
Oh my gosh.
Right. Best $5 I ever spent.
Star Wars Commander, dude. Oh, I'm hopelessly addicted. Don't you play that too, Dan? Star Wars Commander? I guess he's gone.
This is great. Adam Fubar.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
He says, is Dan going to be Darth Vader for Halloween?
There you go.
I said, Joel, I don't know if you heard me. I said I played both of those. And the only complaint I have with both of them is after a while, it gets really slow.
Yeah, unless you pony up some bucks. Yeah.
Yeah, because I only have – I have two builders, and I was like, if you don't spend any money, the first, like, after a month of playing, you probably would be able to collect enough gems to get a new builder. But my daughter was playing with my phone the one day, and she fired up both of those games and ended up spending all my gems on stuff. So I lost like 300 gems on things that she had. She just clicked on and had built right away.
Corcon, why are we echoing?
Probably because my mic's open and I held it open.
Yeah, but what do you got? You
this
got
after
a speaker?
Who the fuck cares?
Well, what the hell kind of crappy audio do you have?
It's because my mic's up and I'm not going to shut it down. It's after show. Who gives a crap?
But it echoes during the show.
It's not during the show.
But it does it during the show. Do I need to get you like the Play School microphone?
Only does it when you talk, Rich.
No, it was doing it while Dan was talking.
It does it when I talk.
It does it when any human talks.
Yes. Anyway.
Except you. It doesn't echo you.
Mm.
What is it? Is it picking up what's coming through your headphones?
It that's possible. I don't know. I don't know. It's just whatever at this point. Have you been cleaning up all the junk around your base too there, Dan? Cause you can get, gems and crystals that way.
Yeah, I have done that. I'm at that point right now where the one thing I don't like about it compared to Clash of Clans, I love the game, don't get me wrong, but it seems like it's hard to get an army together because you have such limited slots on the carriers.
Yeah.
Even now I'm at a level 5, I think I'm at level 5 fortress or home base, whatever it is, and I have so few guys I can build.
I've got two landing pads for two transports and they're level 4 ones, so I got 52, up to 52 units, but then when you add like a factory and add like tanks and stuff like that, those take
up. Yeah, that takes up like five units.
And I finally did, I got a starship port too. And what kind of amazes me is they include the Z95 headhunter. I think is the name of the one. Anyway, you can only commission up to 3 starfighters at a time. And I'm like,
right.
That's crazy. I'm like, I want about 10, man. Cause some of them.
Wait, are you playing?
I'm Rebel.
Empire
I'm Rebel.
Or Rebel. Okay.
I'm Rebel it's pretty, I'm to the point where, now I will say I have spent some money in it cause first off, I like to see that game get some support, you know. So that's one reason why I spent money, but the other is I get bored with it if I don't spend just a little bit in, you know, I'll lose interest in it. I guarantee you I will.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the problem I have is usually I check it like once or twice a day and a lot of stuff that I'm building now takes more than a day to build. So
anybody get an invite for a Google inbox yet?
No, I'm still waiting for my Elo.
You should have got
invite
it
from you.
I sent it to your Gmail account.
Well, that's why I didn't really got it.
Okay, you never check it apparently. The inbox is basically it's a inbox by Gmail. It's supposed to be like a reimagining of the inbox, but it's an invite only thing, kind of like Gmail started out to begin with. So. Just kind of came out today. They also, and I haven't looked at it yet, but they also released a new updated version of Google Earth for Android. So, supposed to have a new rendering engine on it or something. I don't know. It's like the first time it's been updated in a while. I'm waiting for Android L to hit my Nexus 7.
So it'll be like never when it hits my frickin' Galaxy S3?
Oh, well, with the S3 I would say yeah, never. But
I'm hoping to get the Note 4, but I don't know if I can afford that now.
Yeah, it's a nice phone. Actually, are you Verizon?
Yes, I am, but who knows for how long.
Get a Nexus 6. It's coming out on Verizon. I just also finally got my SoftCard account set up. That SoftCard is Verizon's version of Google Wallet. Haven't tried it yet.
So how big is the Nexus 6?
I thought it was 6 inches almost, or close to it.
Megapixel. No, this article doesn't say.
Elo looks weird to me.
Kind of beveled, curved.
I want to get a Nexus 9 tablet. That looks pretty sweet. Of course, you're seeing that a lot of the first looks are basically, not panning it, but most of the first look sites I see that have said anything about it have been like,
forgot. I'm looking at The Verge and trying to read technical specs. They don't do technical specs on The Verge.
The Verge is a fashion website, apparently. If you listen to...
I don't get it. Why would I look for an article that says, oh, it feels good?
Yeah, well, listen to you. If you want a good, I think Nilay Patel, who's like the head honcho there now, since Topolsky left. I know. It's temporary, you know. It's one of those any day now things. It's all budgetary crap, just waiting for the budgets to fall right or something. I personally think it's so they have to avoid me paying me a bonus this year. That's probably what it is, but I don't care because once they bring me on, it's like I'll finally not have to eat it in the shorts for my health insurance. My health insurance premium is $700 a paycheck. My contract company pays none of it.
I have a $3,000 deductible.
On what? Your health insurance?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a $2,000 last year. We didn't hit our minimum, and I don't think this year we'll hit our minimum.
Yeah, we won't hit it. It's the whole point.
Well, it's bad because we're paying more than we did for full freight, you know, kick butt insurance.
Yep.
Meanwhile,
paying more, getting less.
All we're getting is like a catastrophic insurance plan.
That's pretty much it.
Hey, Joel.
Yeah.
If you're not contract anymore, technically doesn't, like, if they were to hire you full time, wouldn't your hourly rate go down?
Technically, yes, because it would be salary and I would not get any overtime money.
Right.
But then they pay 70% of my insurance, and my company still has, additional, you know, HMO style coverage where I just basically go in and pay a copay. You know, that's one choice. I could go with a similar plan to what I have now, which just no effing way I'm doing that, but.
Yeah, but they could work you harder and longer for less
and put you to bed wet.
Yeah. technically. Well, you know what though, but it actually kind of in the end run, it actually works out to my advantage because that means my utilization numbers are up. You know, even though I don't get paid for that at that instant now, at the end of the year, the closer my utes are to 70 or higher, that's 70% of my time used to generate revenue for the company, then I can potentially get a pretty kick-ass bonus, which will make it worth it in the end, but.
My mother got a notice that she's getting dropped by insurance. Cancellation.
Yeah. Horace Lyon, nobody's listening. Nobody even knows who. Yeah, I don't think I've even mentioned who I work for. So, and I probably won't.
You work for Satan.
And I'm not Satan complaining. In the day. It's not a complaint. It's just reality. I like my job. I really do.
Has anybody heard from Beth Lynn since? I mean, has she said anything since trying again with? Nothing back from her. All right, I'll be right back.
So I got my PowerPoint slide squared away for my show, my talk.
You're not using PowerPoint.
No, I'm using, what is it, Apple Keynote.
Oh, that's even worse. If I was there, I would bust your balls about it right at the beginning.
Yeah, there's going to be enough people. Don't worry about it.
That's terrible form, man. People using PowerPoint at a freaking Linux conference.
No, I know not to use PowerPoint. I don't know if I can export it to OpenOffice or whatever. LibreOffice. So I just did a retort to you posted the Yankee Marshall about the sci-fi guns.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. That guy's funny. He's really good. I like him.
He's like, I am a YouTube gun expert. Now you need to take advice from me. That was a good one. And you know, he's like pointing the gun at his chest and pointing the gun straight at the camera.
He does some funny posts, that guy.
So don't forget, the religion of Islam is a peaceful religion. You know, nobody converts to Christianity and shoots up parliament.
Hashtag peaceful.
Yeah. So, you know, mind you, you know, it was very funny. There's a kind of a, what do they call it? An idiom? Or is it a term or a way of speaking that When you're in the Middle East, every city, when you say the name, is prefaced by the holy city of. Not that any city is holier than the other city. But it was very funny. You heard all the reporters on network news. They'd say the holy city of Mosul, the holy city of Berkut, the holy city of, it's like, that's just a formality in how they speak. So finally, Mark Levin was saying the holy city of New York, the holy city of Washington DC. And finally everybody caught on to it that they're just making themselves idiots. And that's like the whole thing. It's nobody's running around saying Judaism or Christianity, the peaceful religion of, you know, the religion of peace of Judaism, the religion of peace of Christianity, the peaceful Catholics, the peaceful Lutherans. No, but it's always the peaceful Muslims that are killing everyone. It's the religion of peace, though. Yeah, and people aren't running out of a Joel Osteen's church and shooting up Parliament, so.
No, damn, they're running Quakers, out for completely man. Different reasons.
Cutting people's heads off.
Damn Quakers.
Those friggin' Mormon nutjobs. Blowing up dams and.
Women should be in burkas.
Hi, Dan Fry.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Fryman, hey, I was talking about you to the guys at work.
Oh yeah, what about?
iButton.
What?
Or not iButton, the,
the beacon stuff, the beacon stuff.
Sorry,
yeah.
I had Dallas Semiconductor in my head.
The only thing I can say to that is I think they've taken it away from me and farmed it out to some outside company because I haven't heard about it in months.
No way.
Not too happy about it since I put all that work into it.
I cannot name names or discuss this, but a client of mine, a team member at a client of mine, developed a beautiful app. Another party developed kind of an app that did like a slideshow and did nothing. And this large organization ran commercials about their app. And it's got like a 1-star in the app store. And they're like, you mean we're paying for this and it doesn't do anything and you're running commercials for it and it doesn't do anything? Meanwhile, we had a fully developed app. And they didn't choose ours.
I don't get the politics behind all this crap sometimes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I can't say anymore.
That's how I think we ended up with Oracle Consulting, but I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying that type of stuff out loud.
Yeah, right. Watch yourself.
And there was clearly some deficiencies there. That and they turn around the people so often.
Oh, yeah, we had that. We had Capgemini Ernst & Young, and like every Monday there was a new teenager in the seat.
Capgemini, I think we are looking at them for something.
See, what you have to specify in a contract when you do consulting like that is you have a continuous interface. In other words, the same people are in the same seat, that they're not changing them out. Because then... Well,
I agree with you there, but I think the problem on our side was we didn't have the people in-house in the right spots to kind of oversee everything that the outside people were doing.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's like Billy Joel dating Christy Brinkley. You know, they've never done it before, so they don't know what it's like.
Right.
And really, if you were smart about it, say you know, you have a known unknown. Like, I do not know how to work this project. Hire a third party to oversee it.
Yeah, somebody who doesn't have a vested interest on either side. Well, I shouldn't say that. They have more of a vested interest on your side since you're the one paying them. So
yes, you hire an advocate.
But they, I don't know. There was a lot of things that were missed in this last major migration that they undertook. You know, and. Things that were rushing around at the very last minute to try and fix and, you know, all that kind of crap. And you know, shortly thereafter, all these consultants were gone, you know? they're gone. Phase two is starting, but you know, because the people were there so long, they can't work, legally work in the state anymore. You know what I mean? Because they have to go back to their own state because they're not getting paying taxes or whatever, some stupid law like that on, you know, being out of their home state for so long. It's really, really bizarre in Pennsylvania here.
Yes, it is.